I need to be changed a little bit, or a lot, just to be honest with you. And I need some help this week. We are needy people. I like to come to church and get stirred up. But when we get stirred up, it ought to stir us to want to be changed and be different. And I hope you come looking for something this week. And you come looking, the Lord will have something for you. Amen. Whether it's through me or through Tony Hudson or who knows? Who knows, man? Lord may call one of you to preach and preach your first message this week. I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. But you come looking for something, He'll give it to you. Let me get my commercial out of the way. Hey, mine aren't as long as Tim Green or Sam Gipps. I haven't written as many books as they. I hadn't written any books. I need to read some more before I write one. We do got some CDs out there on the table, and if you're that desperate for music, they're there. They're $15. And so we was talking about it last night. He said, you ought to do the love offering thing. Just give a love offering. I was like, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. I've seen how that goes. I know how Baptists are with their money. Love offering. Ain't much love in your offering sometimes. That was cruel, wasn't it? Goodness. I do want to, this is our church choir CD. We just made this, and it is a blessing. I promise you, you get that, it'll bless your heart. And Brother Jay Chang is a missionary out of our church, just started on deputation, going to Thailand. And he just started out, don't know a lot of people, so I told him I'd take some of his cards around. So y'all pick up one of those and pray for Brother Jay and his family. And he's a good man. He'll be a blessing over there. I know he'll do a good work. So please pray for them as they're trying to raise their support to get on the mission field. And pray for my voice this week. Something about New England just messes with my voice. I don't know if it's the cold or what it is, but I have a hard time with my voice every time I come up here. What are you putting in the food, Miss Kathy? You putting something in there. Yeah. I know what she's thinking with her arms folded down there. She's thinking it's all that Mountain Dew you drink and the fact that you won't eat vegetables or beans. You know what I hate about it? Is she's probably right. But just eat more healthy, I'd probably be healthy. But Luke 19, let's look at a very familiar story here about old Zacchaeus. Everybody knows who Zacchaeus is. It's a good story. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1. I'm going to let you stand for a minute. If you want to, if you want to rest your bottom for a second. The kids are like, yes, we get to stand. The Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood, said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. I like that right there. This day is salvation. We ought to just be rejoicing and shouting the roof off over that word salvation. Amen. He said, this day is salvation come to thy house. How many of you remember the good day when salvation came to your house? I'm talking about the best day of my life, hallelujah, was when I got saved, or when he came by my way, amen, and saved my old sorry soul. It was a good day when he came by. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. Don't ever forget that day when salvation came to your house. Amen. You may forget some things along the way. Men, you may even slip up and forget an anniversary every now and then. God forbid. We'll be in big trouble if we do. But don't ever forget the day or get over the day when salvation came to your house. He said, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, here's another good one right here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you glad that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost? And aren't you glad this morning that you ain't a Calvinist, amen? And even in the year 2009, he's still trying to seek and save those that are lost, amen? And he'll save you this morning if you let him. this morning, just as He did this day for old Zacchaeus, He's passing by. Oh, there's been a sweet spirit in here already this morning. I mean, I like it when you're singing and you look out and you see tears in eyes. You see people with hands in the air. You see people willing to move down to an altar just to thank God for what He's done. And when God's on the move like that, it's a good time to get saved. I want to preach this morning on Up a Tree Without Jesus. Is it okay to preach a salvation message during revival? I'm going to, whether you amen me or not. I got convicted here a while back. I'll let you sit down in a minute. Brother Sammy would have him stand for 2 hours while he preached. You know, I ain't going to be that mean. I ain't going to preach for 2 hours either, Lord willing, because I'm kind of hungry. What was I saying? It was up a tree. Now I'm up a tree and I don't know where I'm going. Maybe we better just pray and then see where to go. Oh, Lord, I do pray that You'd bless the reading of Your Word. God, thank You for Your Word and what a blessing it is to us. Lord, thank You for salvation. Best thing ever happened to me was when You moved in my heart. And Lord, I sure don't want to get over the joy of just being saved. It's a wonderful thing. Thank You, Lord, for Your sweet spirit. Just pray that You'd dwell here among us for a while today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit. I know what I was saying. I got convicted a while back. I was looking through my Bible and I didn't have not one single salvation message. Now that's pitiful for a preacher. I'm just confessing my sins to you. Y'all act like you're a pope for a minute and I'm confessing my sins. Obviously, in all a preacher's messages, we try to lead to Calvary and through to the blood of Jesus Christ, end up on a salvation note. But I didn't have just any salvation messages. And I thought, that's bad, Daniel, as an evangelist. And I thought, but you know, there's a lot of preachers that don't preach salvation messages much anymore. And I thought, I wonder why that is. And I found out why it is. It's because generally, when you're preaching to a congregation like this morning, most of us are saved. I believe most of the people here this morning are saved. But there's somebody here this morning that's lost. Maybe you think you're saved and you're not. Maybe it's just a game like it was for me for 19 years. You need to get saved. But as an evangelist, Brother Gary, when you preach, you want to see everybody on the altar. You want to see the altars full. And, you know, when you preach a salvation message, though, it's usually just going to be one or two people. But ain't it worth it if they get saved? I mean, it's not just about, this thing ain't about numbers and how many people you have or this or that. I mean, it's about just doing what God wants you to do anyway. But a salvation message ought to do at least two things for a saved person. First of all, it ought to make you rejoice in the fact that you are saved, that we have been saved from hell, amen. And then it also ought to make us want to go out and have a desire to tell others, amen. And what Jesus did for a bunch of old sorry sinners like us, He can do for them. Amen. Up a tree without Jesus, Zacchaeus by the world's standards, seemed like he was doing pretty good, seemed like he had everything that a man could want or desire. Seemed like he had all his ducks in a row, everything was just like he wanted it. And yet we find him up this tree one day looking for something better than what he had. Maybe this morning you've come in here, life's been going pretty good for you, and you feel like you're doing okay, but you've come in here looking for something better. I'm glad there is something better. There is something better than what money has to offer, amen. There's something better, amen, than what any amount of popularity or being well known has to offer, amen. His name is Jesus Christ, amen. You won't find a better deal than Jesus Christ. You won't find anything better than Him. Let me give you three quick things about Zacchaeus, and we'll go to the house this morning. It says, number one, let's look at the man's condition. Look at verse number three. The man's condition, verse number three, it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who He was. He was searching for something. He was searching for something, as we said, better than what he already had. Now, the Bible said that he was chief among the publicans, so he had a high position. He had power in the town that he lived in. He was a well-known man, I'm sure. And then it also said he was rich. I mean, he had everything that even by today's standards the world says you need to have. You know what the world tells you? You need to have as many friends as you can get and be popular. If you'll be popular, you'll be happy. Or if you'll just get a lot of money and be wealthy, then you'll be happy. And if that's the case, then I want to know why so many people with money are blowing their brains out. So many people that live in the biggest houses, their families are falling apart, everything's gone wrong, and they're miserable even with a bank full of money. Money don't bring happiness. Having all the things that the world has to offer ain't going to bring you happiness. Now, I'm for having nice things. If the Lord's blessed you with a nice home or you drive a nice car out here on the sheet of ice, amen, you got all those things, hey, that's great. I'm glad the Lord does give His blessings. And sometimes He'll say, I'm going to bless you with something really good. He does that. And I'm glad He does. But that's not where true happiness is found, amen. He was searching for something because none of that stuff had satisfied Him. Look up here, young people. The world will try to tell you, you just need to keep up with the fads of the world and the styles of the world, and you'll be happy, and you just fit in with the crowd down at the schoolhouse. You just do whatever you can to fit in with everybody, and you'll be a loser just like them. Amen. Because that's all they are. They ain't happy. You see these boys, you know, they think they're all cool, leaning up, you know. They never smile. Have you ever known the cool guys never smile, Brother Eric? I mean, that ain't cool. See, I want to date that guy. He's cool. You're a fool. Amen. Our society is so geared to just fitting in with everybody, doing what everybody else is doing. Well, according to the Word of God, as Christians, we're to be a set apart people, a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different than what everybody else is doing. And they'll say, if you'll just, Hollywood will try to push this style of, you know, you just try to be like this, and you do this and dress like this and hang around these kind of people, and you're going to have it going on. And the reality is, as far as Hollywood goes, if you were to pull back the glitz and the glamour and see what was really going on, they're miserable. I think of some people, and man, I pray for them. I'm not trying to be hard on them. I feel sorry for them. But you look at people like Britney Spears. Look at where her life has taken her over the last 10 years since she got popular and rich. In and out of rehab. Just gone nuts. She can't even sit next to her own children without somebody there accompanying them. Oh, that's a real glamorous lifestyle right there. How about Lindsay Lohan? Just announced that she's a lesbian. Started off in cute little Disney movies. Isn't it amazing that all them little... I've been picking on Disney a lot today, haven't I? I don't know why. You notice all these little girls that start off as cute little girls on a little Disney movie that's clean, it seems so great, they end up being harlots 10 years later. Every one of them, you mark her down just about. Almost all of them, that's the way it goes. Here, Lindsay Lohan, same thing, just in and out of drug rehab, no peace, no happiness. And here they're trying to say, this is the life. Oh, this is the way you want to live your life. It's the best way. Here they got these fancy mansions, and I guarantee you half the Hollywood celebrities didn't even sleep in their mansions last night because they were held up in a drug rehab or jail somewhere. They ain't out driving their cars because they get their license taken away from them. They may own two or three fancy little sports cars, but they ain't driving them. They ain't driving them nowhere because they can't get sober enough to drive them anywhere. Oh, that's a fun life right there. No. No, I'm telling you, this is the best life. Being saved, living for God, just doing what's right, walking in the center of His will, coming to church, coming to revival. This is the best life. Hey, man, hey, I've never, by the grace of God, not because I'm anything good of me, but because of the grace of God and the mom and dad that scared the fool out of me, hey, man, I've never smoked a cigarette, never drank liquor, hey, man, never done drugs, walked down the aisle, me and my wife both pure on our wedding day, hallelujah. And I want to say this morning, I've got no regrets, hallelujah, no regrets, amen, for just serving God and walking with Him and trying to please Him. It is the best life. And if you're searching for something this morning, the answer's right here today. The answer's moving around in the midst of us this morning. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's the best thing you'll find today. You can try it in the bottom of a beer can. You can look in a big joint rolled up trying to smoke that, and you may get a little bit of a high, but it'll be gone before you know it. You can try to make all the money you can, but especially in the days we're living in, it can be gone just like that. But you get Jesus, you'll find the best friend you'll ever have. Amen. He was searching for something. What he was searching for was coming down the road that day. Oh yeah, let me just throw this in. This ain't got nothing to do with the message. If you missed church tonight to watch the Super Bowl, you're sorry. Salute. Make a lot of friends right there. If you missed church, period, but especially a revival service, you are sorry and you ain't going to have revival this week. Amen. Maybe you got to go do something or another, but if you miss it just to watch the Super Bowl, that's pitiful. You need Jesus. He was searching for something. How did I work that in? I don't know, but there I said it. He was searching. I remember I was searching for something one day, Brother Gary. I grew up full of religion. Grew up knowing all about God. But there was no peace in my heart and my life. Every time I'd hear a message on hell, I'd be scared to death. You know why? Because I was going there. But then I would almost get saved. Every time I'd almost get saved, I'd think, but my mom and dad's good people. I'll ride their coattails, and that wasn't good enough. I was searching for something. But he was also short. Verse 3, there at the end, it said he couldn't see him for the press because he was little of stature. Now, is there any wonder this morning why Zacchaeus would be my favorite Bible character? Any wonder at all? I'm a little bit on the short side. I turned 28 back in June. I know I look about 18, but I did. I turned 28. And on my 28th birthday, I stood in front of a full-length mirror, and I said, Daniel, just accept it. You ain't getting tall. It took 28 years, but I finally accepted it. No growth spurts on the way. Maybe that kind of growth spurt, but he was short. But he was short in more than just one way. Amen. The Bible said, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you think what you're doing is going to get you into heaven, you think being at church this morning will get you into heaven, you're wrong. Hey, friend, you're wrong this morning if you think what you're doing is going to get you saved and into heaven, amen? Because it ain't about what you've done. It ain't nothing about what you'll ever do or what I've ever done. It's about what He did 2,000 years ago, amen? When He died on an old rugged cross and shed His blood, amen? Hey, He's done paid the price, amen? Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. You come up short if you're trying to do things your own way this morning. If you're counting on your own works, you're coming up short. It ain't good enough. It's not good enough. We're coming up short. 6 months ago, the Lord blessed us with a little baby girl. She's a blessing, man. I miss her already. You say, she got you wrapped around her finger? Yep. All five of them. In that little baby girl, there's a sin nature. See, have you ever witnessed to somebody and they say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad of a sinner. If you've ever gone out witnessing to people or passing out tracts, preached on the streets, dealing with people about salvation, you've run into somebody that said, well, I'm just not that bad of a sinner. You do realize it's not just your sin that sends you to hell. It's your sin nature by itself. Just your sin nature that we inherited from Adam way back in the Garden of Eden. And in that little girl, there is that sin nature. And at some point, she's going to reach an age of accountability. And it don't matter how pretty she is. It don't matter how cute she is. It doesn't even matter if she's sweet. She's going to need to get saved. You say, why? Because she comes up short of the glory of God. That sin nature. Say, where'd she get it from? Me and her mama. And I got it from my dad and my mom, all the way back down to Adam. We got that old sin nature. And because we do, we need something more than that can come from us. It's got to come from Him. We got to put our trust in Him. You're coming up short. I go to a Christian school. Kids die every day from a Christian schoolroom. Go straight to hell. But I do this and I do that. It ain't good enough. I'm glad you're doing all these things that are right to do, but it ain't good enough without Him. Well, I've been baptized. Well, that's a good thing to do after you're saved. But if you're counting on just being dunked in water, you just did nothing more than go for a swim. You need to get saved. He was short. He was searching. Number two, we see the Master's command. I'm glad that Zacchaeus wasn't just left up in that tree. Somebody was coming down the road. Hey, you know what this morning? Maybe you're here and you found yourself up in a tree looking for something. Answer's coming down the road. The answer's coming down the aisle this morning. The answer to your every problem is walking down the aisle. You say, if I get saved, will all my problems go away? No. Nobody said your problems would all be gone, but it would take care of the biggest problem you got. Amen. Biggest problem you got if you're lost this morning is that you're on your way to hell. And you need to get saved. And the Master's coming by. He done passed by a little bit this morning. There's some saved people that got some help. If you're lost here this morning, He wants to help you. The Master's command, look at verse number 5. It said, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. He said, make haste. He said, hurry up. And this morning, just as an old little preacher, I just want to echo those words one more time. Hurry up. Hurry up and get saved. Quit putting it off. Say, well, I got plenty of time. You don't know that. How many times have we heard preachers say, you think you got your whole life in front of you? Well, they're right. You do have your whole life in front of you. Every one of you sitting here this morning, every one of us, you got your whole life in front of you. You just don't know whether it's 5 years or 5 minutes. How about it this morning? I'd hurry up. I'd quit putting it off. I'd quit saying, I'll do it next week, or I'll do it next year, I'll do it next revival. I'd get saved today. Not because I'm preaching, not because we're in a revival meeting, just because hell is real. Below your feet this morning, there are flames burning. People are in torment, suffering throughout eternity. It will never stop for them. And if you die and go there, it'll never stop for you either. It is a reality and it's a place you do not want to go. It's a place you're fooling yourself if you think it's just going to be a big party down in hell. I don't care how many heavy metal rock songs talk about partying down in hell. There ain't no party going on in hell this morning. Look up here, young person. It ain't a place you want to go. This ain't something you want to toy around with. It better be real this morning. Hurry up. I can see old Noah as he was working on that ark. God gave him a command. Nobody had never seen rain before, but Noah had enough sense to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. He starts building this ark. And as he's working on that ark, I could see him. He'd stop every few minutes. Hurry up! Get on the ark! And everybody would walk by and just laugh and scoff at him. There's crazy old Noah building that boat thingy. Never seen anything like that. I mean, what is he thinking? He's an idiot. He's a fool. They made fun of him just like they do us today. You know what? Right now, I guarantee you, several people have already driven by this church this morning and said, well, there's the foolish crowd. Look at them weirdos in church. And they'll probably go back tonight while we're all watching the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking, yeah, you better be back tonight while they're all watching the Super Bowl. And Noah just kept saying, hurry up. You know what happened one day? One day those people looked up and the clouds had changed a shade of color they had never seen before. Something splashed on the ground they had never seen before. It bounced on their head and just kind of rolled down their face. And like, what is this? And before they knew it, the earth had opened up and they were immersed in water. And I could see them clamoring for the side of that boat saying, Noah, let us in! Noah, we want in. But it was too late because God had already shut the door. I want to say this morning, one more time, hurry up. Hey, get on board the old ship of Zion, amen. Hey, she's about to take her final voyage. I'd get on just as quick as you could. Hey, if you know you need to get saved, I'd come down right now. I would come down right now. I wouldn't even wait till the invitation time. I would come and get saved right now. Wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. It wouldn't mess up my agenda or program because I ain't got one anyway. If you just came down right now, somebody take a Bible and show you how to get saved. Hurry up. Quit putting it off. He said, make haste and come down. He said, humble yourself. And that's what it'll take if you're going to get saved. You're going to have to humble yourself. You know why so many people die and go to hell? I mean, people that aren't addicted to drugs or alcohol, that aren't addicted to just running around with people they shouldn't run around with. Most people die and go to hell just because of their pride. I'm talking about people that are living by the world's standards, a pretty clean, moral life, die and go to hell. They let their pride send them to hell. You know why I was 19 years old before I got saved? Because of my pride. I led singing in our Christian school chapel services. I sang specials in our church. I was working on a bus route. And every time I'd feel some conviction. I'd say, but what would people think? What would people think if I went forward and got saved? So then I would say, no, I'm saved. I mean, look at all this stuff I'm doing. And I prayed a little prayer when I was 5 years old. I'm okay. But on June the 5th of 2000, this thing got so real to me. And I said, man, I ain't going to hell for nobody. I don't care what my friends think or what mom and daddy's going to preach or what the preacher's going to think. None of that matters. I went to our little church, little town called Benton, Arkansas, and got with our associate pastor there. And I said, man, I need to get saved. He said, I could show you all the scriptures. He said, but you know them. He said, you know what you need to do? I said, yes, sir. And on that day, boy, I bowed down, called out to God and asked Him to save me. You know what? Mom and Daddy weren't mad at all. As a matter of fact, I called my mom. I thought, boy, this is going to blow her away. I said, hey, Mom, I got saved. And she just got quiet for a minute. She said, I always wondered about you. What? You always wondered about me? Preacher wasn't mad. Matter of fact, I called him. He was on the golf course. Called him and said, hey, preacher, I got saved. You know what he said? It's about time. You know what? You think you've got everybody fooled this morning? You don't. They know. Won't you humble yourself this morning? Won't you quit letting pride hold you back? Won't you get saved? There ain't nobody going to be mad at you. Preacher ain't going to be mad at you. You say, but I do this or I do that. I do this in the church. If you're going to do those things in the church, we'd really rather you be saved. And look, this morning, I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation either. If you saved, you saved. But I'm just saying it better be real. Because there's somebody here this morning, you know you're not saved. You know what you need to do. It'd be a good morning to do it. So we saw the man's condition, saw the master's command, but then we saw that he made a marvelous choice. I'm glad old Zacchaeus made the right choice. If he hadn't, this story would be a very miserable story. Look at verse number 6. It says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Best decision I've ever made, and Brother Steve, I've made a lot of dumb decisions in my life. I'll just be honest with you. I've done some dumb things. I haven't gone sledding off of a hill, you know, and ramp on a thing like you. You're brave, but, you know. Y'all know your preacher's, he's not only brave, y'all know he's famous. Everywhere we go, people are like, there's Brother Gary, he's the TV preacher. He's the big televangelist for this area, amen. I just like, I'm with him, yeah. I'm with the preacher. I've done a bunch of dumb things in my life. The best decision I ever made, though, was when I did put all that pride aside. And I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. It was a marvelous choice. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I like that old song, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my sins were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Best decision I ever made. Hey, I understand it's important, young people, to decide where you're going to college, what you're going to do with your life, who you're going to marry. Those are all important things. They're very important decisions. But more important than that is just saying yes to Jesus Christ. Yes, God, I need You in my life. I want You in my life. I accept You as my Savior. Amen. The Bible said that He made haste and came down. He ran to Him. I believe with all my heart, Zacchaeus, praise God. He ain't getting saved this morning. he's going to wish he had in a little bit. I believe with all my heart, he got down out of that tree as quick as he could and went running to Jesus. Just like you need to do this morning. Amen. Like I said, I'd come right now. But if you're going to wait till the invitation, don't wait till the preacher says, one more verse, one more stanza. I'd get up and come. I believe he ran to him. You know, in the Old Testament, if a man had murdered somebody and he felt just in doing so, but yet so the people were going to kill him, or the family obviously would be upset with him, they would chase him down. And the Bible said they had set up these cities called cities of refuge. And they would run to those cities, and if they could get to that city, they'd be safe inside of that city of refuge. See, in the Old Testament, they ran to a place. In the New Testament, amen, we run to a person, and His name's Jesus. And I'm glad we've got a refuge we can run. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a refuge this morning like no other. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can run to Him. I'm glad for the day I ran to Him. Hallelujah. What a blessed, happy day when I ran to Him. And with arms wide open, praise God, with arms wide open, He took me in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Glory to God. A marvelous choice. He ran to Him, but then it also said, and He received Him joyfully. He received Him. Now let me say, that receiving is still a part of salvation. I hate to tell this. It breaks my heart, but as far as I know, my grandpa is in hell this morning. On September 11th, ...2001, while we was all watching the news and everything going on in New York City and Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania, I got a phone call that my grandpa had passed away. My dad, I remember sitting and hearing my dad for years tell my grandpa, Zeke, you need to get saved. You need to get saved, Zeke. And he'd say, no, I'm just not ready for that. You know what was sad is that my grandpa believed in God. He believed in heaven and hell. He believed that God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He believed all that, and he would say, I know when I die I'm going to go to either heaven or hell, but I don't want to get saved. I'm just not ready for that. He believed all the right things, but he never would receive Him. Now, as his grandson, I would like to think that maybe in that nursing home, in his last few moments alive, I'd like to think that maybe he called out to God, Brother Gary. But as far as we know, he died and went to hell. Because he wouldn't receive Him. Let me say, young person, it ain't enough just to believe in God. It's not enough just to believe the gospel. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not even enough to even maybe even get up and sing a song about Him. You got to receive Him. It was a marvelous choice. Do you realize that every second that we're in here this morning, somebody is dying and going to hell? Brother, come on, get a song ready. Just as I am would be just fine. Every second that we've been in here this morning, somebody's dying and going to hell. I'm talking about even within this area, probably somebody's died and gone to hell. Your area, your hometown, just like that, they're dying every second. Grandmas and grandpas, mamas and daddies, teenagers, they're dying and going to hell, just like that. And it don't matter what your last name is, who your mom and daddy is, how high your position is at work. None of that matters. You know what's going to happen one of these days? It's going to be you. Where are you going to be at? What tree are you up in today? You going to let pride keep you from getting saved? You going to let popularity or power? You going to let all your little possessions, your toys, your plans? Some of you are up a tree and it's your own plans. I had plans. My plan wasn't at the age of 28, Brother Gary, to be in Blackstone, Massachusetts preaching. My plan was I wanted to go sing with the Gaithers. Help us, Lord. Can I say, Brother Louis, though, I'd much rather be right here than in a coliseum with them bunch of fornicating hippies. Just to feel what we felt a little bit ago as people were just worshiping God and getting some help. Forget your plans. He's got something much bigger and greater for you. The world may laugh at us and scoff. My dad raised me to write, and I love my dad. But just a few weeks ago, I was out at my dad's house in Arkansas, and him trying to tell me, if you'd just do this, you could get your songs on the radio. If you'd do this, you could get you a bus. He just can't get it into his head that I'm doing what God wants me to do. It's not about being famous. It's not about being rich. It's just about being in the center of God's perfect will. But you'll never get there without getting saved first. But it's a happy place. Sure, trouble comes down the pipe every once in a while, but I've got a friend that's there with me. You say, well, getting saved take care of all your troubles? No. But you're going to have troubles whether you're saved or not. You might as well have a wonderful friend that'll help you through them. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're just going to have a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to Brother Gary. He's passing by church. I'd get saved. I wouldn't put it off. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the good liberty preaching this morning. Lord, it sure is wonderful to be saved. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray you'd get a hold of their heart right now. Just, Lord, pray they'd get under old time conviction like I did. Lord, I pray they'd come down this morning and get saved. Lord, help them to put their pride aside and realize that they need you, God, more than they need anything else. Lord, save somebody today, please. Don't let anybody leave here lost. We love you, Lord. Bless now during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.